Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. And coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Good to be here.
It's my third podcast that I'm recording, and it's been busy for me. I had Courtney and then Madelon and now you. I'm not even sure what we're talking about. What do you think of Bella Allery?
Say it again. Oh, I think she's pretty spectacular.
Have you watched much of...
Yeah, I have. I haven't been to quite as many games this year as I usually get to, but, you know, over the years, I watch a lot of basketball.
She's averaging 30 points a game in the Ivy League. That's
pretty
wild.
Pretty impressive.
So what's really interesting is that it's not even the midway point of the women's basketball and the men's basketball Ivy League season, but it's opening day for lacrosse season. So you just see how much overlap there is now. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot, how the season started much later for you, like when basketball season was over. But now you're getting ready to play. Your team has had 2 weeks of practice. You open the season Saturday at home at 1 o'clock against Temple. And let's start with Temple, where that's a team that will have played 2 games by the time you play them. Is that an advantage? Does that matter at all?
Well, I think it's helpful for them that they've had a couple of games under their belt. But, you know, we had a good scrimmage last weekend against the New York Athletic Club that contains a number of recent Princeton alums and other former top Division I players. So I think that's
some Maryland and some Duke.
Yeah, Maryland and Duke and North Carolina and Georgetown. And it's a great opportunity for us to play a really competitive group and to have that game-like experience.
It gives you the opportunity to put your team on the field and play. But is there something about opening day that, like, you know, is a little special?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're putting on the uniform for the first time. I really think about our freshmen and what that's going to feel like for them on game day, the first time they've actually put on the Princeton uniform and the full team walking over together ready for their first game. It's such a special thing to start a season, you know, full of hope and excitement and really get our journey underway.
So I mentioned whether it's an advantage for them to have played twice. Is it an advantage to you because you've seen two of their games?
Well,
and they
that
haven't seen
that
you
is
at all?
You know, that is the positive, that they don't have any scout film on us from this year, and we will have seen two of their games. So that helps us in terms of the preparation piece.
How much has that changed for you through the years? Where when you first started out, access to game film was probably non-existent.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
Now it's just.
Now
everybody shares every game.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you have to share every game on the exchange, and so you can watch any game that you want of your opponents or not. And I used to spend a lot of time in my car on Sundays. You know, you'd have a game on a Saturday, you get home late, and I'd hop in the car Sunday morning and drive out to Penn State and watch the Penn State Virginia game, or drive down to Maryland,
which isn't
wherever,
legal anymore.
Which is no longer legal.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is really good. I loved seeing games, seeing teams in person. But as I've come to rely on the video more, it's great because you'd be watching a game and taking a note about something that happened and then missing something else. So to have the video at your hands, you can be so much more efficient with your use of time.
I mean, we used to see that all the time. We'd be playing a game here, and then you'd look up in the corner of the stands, and it'd be like the coaches from the team that you were playing the next week, and
yeah,
you know, they were trying to hide and didn't want anybody to see them.
Yeah, put a lot of miles on the car.
So. As you get ready for the start of another season, you mentioned the excitement that the players have. I presume that you have the same level of excitement.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just so excited to begin this season. You know, we have a great senior class, and to see how far the team has come already over the course of, the last 5 months since we got here in September. I think we have a great group, and it's going to be exciting to see what we do.
So you talked about the scrimmage last weekend. Did you see what level of improvement did you see in that scrimmage from what you saw in the fall?
There's just I think our team overall played really well. Offensively, I thought we had a phenomenal first half. We controlled the ball well. We found really good ways to score. In the fall, we were so eager to do something, we often forced our first looks that we had, and so we turned the ball over a lot. Offensively, we didn't yet have the maturity to have patience on the offense and to really work for good opportunities, and we didn't see that happening as much on Saturday. We saw a much more mature team that played well together. And then defensively, I think we're just getting stronger and stronger now that we have Noni Anderson back, now that we have Mary Murphy back, and our middies are getting more experience within that unit.
Why did you play the New York Athletic Club as opposed to another school? They're just not schools to play because they were all playing real games?
Yeah, it's tough because last weekend was opening weekend. So most schools are playing other games. And then in the Ivies, you can't go overnight for the scrimmage. So it has to be local, and we wanted to have some really good competition. And when you can play a team like NIAC that has, you know, U.S. players on and pro players on it, you know, I think that was just a great challenge for our kids and a great learning opportunity.
So were you concerned about winning the game? Your team did win the game. I think it was 13-10.
Yeah.
Were you concerned about who won, who lost, or you're just looking for different things?
Well, I mean, you always want to win when you play, especially one game out. But we wanted to give, you know, our players a good sense of what it's going to be like this weekend when they step out on the field and what it feels pace-wise and fitness-wise to play that regulation game and, you know, getting in some of the rotations with personnel that we're going to be getting in. So, you know, as opposed to the fall where it's more just learning and everybody's playing, I mean, now a week out with only 2 weeks of preseason, you're really focused in and trying to, you know, prepare for the game.
Was there somebody who stood out in the scrimmage where you said to yourself, oh, that's pretty eye-opening, you know, maybe no, or maybe somebody who you expected to be good who lived up to what you thought?
Well, I mean, like I think there were just, well, Fish, you know, like I've said in previous podcasts, she's just having, you know, she had a great preseason. She had a great fall. I thought she played really well. Izzy Mangan did a good job for us on draws. I mean, she's just a scrappy kid who's going to get after the ball. She won a lot of draws for us. I think Catherine Hallett has really come along. She's learned how to play more within herself. And I, you know, I thought she had a good game. But more than anything else, I think it's just how we all played together. And we didn't have Kyla Sears out on the field that day. So, you know, we did as well as we did without our top scoring returning attacker in the mix.
So as you get ready to play Temple, the season opens 1 o'clock Saturday on Sherrod Field. Also talk a little bit about how the freshmen played in the scrimmage, because you used 3 or 4 of them regularly when all the starters were out there and probably in roles that they're not used to.
Yeah, well, you know, we did use a lot of freshmen through the midfield. We talked about the fact that we have a very deep crew of freshman midfielders, and we use some as more of an attacking midfielder, and we use Lucy, for instance. We would call it our attack raiser, and Shannon Berry became our defense raiser. And they did a great job kind of adjusting to that, coming on, Lucy coming on when
Which,
the ball was,
you know,
moving into our
they're
attack.
Not used to, you know,
yeah,
they're used to running up and down, up and down, and they're not used to running off and on.
Absolutely, and Shannon in particular I thought was phenomenal. She, just her level of game sense and understanding, her communication as she would come in and bump people over and know immediately who she had to mark up. I mean, that kid just plays at a much, and sees the game and thinks the game at a much higher level than you would ever expect of a college freshman.
Is that a rarity? Because, you know, a lot of times you get kids who, I assume, you get kids who come in here across all sports who just, it was easy for them before they got here. And, you know, I'm always, like, taken by a kid who, you know, like Belle Allery is a good example of a kid who's just so physically dominant that you can't imagine anybody ever stopped her in high school, and yet she developed a complete all-around game, and as opposed to just give me the ball and I could score 50 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that, or are you surprised when you see that, or do you expect to see that, or do you recruit that? Do you have a sense that you're recruiting kids like that?
Well, I think with Shannon, we knew she was a kid like that, that she was a real student of the game, and we could see that developing. And I think I've said on this podcast before, even when she first came in, her very first team meeting, she was just asking questions, especially about the defensive end, which is so new for kids to learn when they get to Princeton, but asking higher level questions, you know, like second level, third level questions. So you could really tell that she got it and, you know, kind of knew what would come next in the progression. So I think she's a special kid in that way, to be as talented as she is, but to understand the game and how it fits together. I think that is a little bit unusual for a freshman.
So as you get ready to play Temple, how much time do you spend in week one? I assume you have to do a regular scouting report like you would do any other game in week one, or are you, at this point in the season, a little more focused on what you have than what the other team has?
Well, we'll do a regular scouting report, which for us means the Thursday before the game, we're really focused on preparing our defense. Friday before the game, we're really focused on preparing our offense. But if we see something that's a little different that might need a little more time, we'll start to introduce that earlier in the week. Since we've only been out there just over a week and a half, we are still working on ourselves in every phase of the game, though.
And what have you seen from Temple that you know, last year they were right around 500.
Yeah. I mean, they're tough kids. I thought their ride against Delaware looked really good. They played a drop back ride. They forced Delaware into a lot of turnovers. I mean, you just can't wait to receive the ball in the midfield. They're going to slide up and get a stick check or get an interception. They were very aggressive on the ride. I think Delaware had something like 22 or 25 turnovers in that game alone, and many of which were forced by Temple. So I think we're going to have to handle the ball well in transition against their zone ride. They also played, in the first half, they played a very unusual type zone, the structure of which I've never really seen before. So, you know, that's something we'll have to get our team prepared for starting today if they choose to play that against us. They went back to a little to their man in the second half. So, you know, we'll see what they do, you know, in the Rutgers game. It'll be interesting to see that.
And so that's Temple's first two opponents are Delaware and Rutgers before they come and play Princeton on Saturday. And as for your team, we sort of went through the roster a bit last week in the podcast. Don't want to go position by position again, but just in terms of, you know, where your team is in general, offensively and defensively, you mentioned Sam Fish, the goalie.
Yeah.
But just, you know, a little bit of like, do you have a good feeling? And you know, with all the experience that you personally have, are you able to have that sense before a season starts of what you have?
Yeah, I think this year probably more than, for instance, last year, I think we have that sense. And this was why the fall was a little disconcerting for us. We had so many kids injured and, you know, things didn't go that well for us, but the kids really turned it around in December and January, and now they're playing like we expected them to play. You know, they're mature, they're making plays, they're playing well together. We have a lot of experience back in the defense end and in the attack end, a lot of proven scorers. We're fast in transition. We got some ankle breakers on the attack, and you know, we have some just tough, solid defenders. So, you know, I think I'd said before, our in the midfield, that's where our youth is, but those kids are gonna come along, and I'm really pleased with the balance of the team. Like, I don't think we're gonna be a team that's gonna win because we have to score a ton of goals, or you know, a team that's going to rely on its defense because our offense is weak. I think we're going to have good balance across both ends of the field.
And so as you, you know, I don't want to say how long, but you've been doing this for a while. I guess one question I was wondering is, when you started out as Princeton women's lacrosse coach, also the field hockey assistant coach, you know, could you have envisioned that in 2019 you'd still be doing this?
Didn't
2019 seem like so futuristic at that point?
2000, wasn't the world going to end then? You know, all the computers weren't going to work. So I don't think I really thought that far ahead. I was just trying to do what I was doing at any point in time, which is really how I try and take each practice, each season. I think I've gotten better at that as I've grown as a coach, but it's pretty awesome to be sitting here, you know, a number of decades later, still excited for the season ahead.
And that season starts Saturday at 1:00. Temple will be at Sherrod Field. Admission to all Princeton regular season women's lacrosse games is free, obviously. Just two other little small pieces we could talk about. One is you have 399 wins. I know that that's not something that you're focused on, but you're going to get to 400 at some point. We talked a little bit about this last week, but is that something that matters to you at all?
I mean, does it matter to
you? Well, I mean, like, you know, 400 is one more than 399. It's not
right.
Like,
it's,
you know,
it's not that big a deal, right?
But it's still
milestones. The milestone is cool, and it gives you a chance to reflect on the career that I've been able to have here and just how awesome Princeton has been as a place to work and how many great players and assistant coaches I've been able to coach over my career. And as you know, as I really believe, it's the kids who go out on the field and who win on game day. So I thank every one of them for getting it done and for giving all that they've had to give to Princeton lacrosse and to me as their coach. And yeah, I sure hope we get 400 at some point this season.
Well, I'm pretty sure you will. And then the other thing is, at what point do you start to pay attention to the rest of the league? Do you, you know, and do you root for the teams in the league early? Because the better they do, the better it is for the league, the better it is for you. You know, at what point do you just focus on Temple and then Virginia and then Penn State? before you even start to think about what the rest of the league is doing?
You know, our Ivy schedule changed a few years ago. So, you know, our fourth game is an Ivy game. So, you know, we have to focus on the league pretty early. And we're always looking to see who's doing what. You do play a lot more non-conference games earlier in the season. So when there's been a big upset, I think that's really good for the league. You know, we want to be a strong league. We've often had three teams in the NCAA tournaments. And I think, you know, as far back as I can remember, we've always had at least two. So keeping high in the national rankings and keeping our teams prominent and being able to get those big wins is fantastic for the league. But then when you look at the actual competition, of course, you're always looking to see how your upcoming opponents are doing.
So I know fans, when they look at, you know, if I do this myself. So you see, like, you know, in say basketball, and it's November 17th and Penn beats Villanova or Harvard gets a big win or something like that. And the league season is still months away, but like you start thinking to yourself, that team might be pretty good. Or the opposite is, oh, I thought that team was going to win and they like lost by 30 to some team that I don't think is any good. They must not be that good this year. Do coaches think the same way, or they don't
I think if we're honest with you, we probably do think the same way, at least in that very moment. But you just can't allow yourself to think that way because the transitive principle does not apply to sports, right? Because team A beats team B and team B beats team C doesn't mean team A is going to beat team C. So, you know, and I, just look at us last year as a point in case. I mean, we started out really slow and came on like gangbusters at the end. So you can't overlook anyone. I think that's really the kiss of death when you start thinking you've gotten a game in a bag before you
I don't think it's later. Overlooking anyone. I think it's the opposite. I think you can see an early season result, and I'm sure this has happened with other teams regarding your team. You see an early season result and you get intimidated by it.
Well, or at least you take notice. I don't know if you get intimidated, but you take notice and you're like, wow, that team was able to beat Team X. They could be pretty good this year, and it will draw your attention for sure.
Well, we'll find out how it all plays out. It starts Saturday at 1 o'clock on Sherrod Field, Princeton and Temple, and hopefully it takes us all the way into the Ivy League tournament and the NCAA tournament beyond that. So, Coach Saylor, good luck this Saturday.
Thanks, Jerry.
And we'll be back every week during the season with the Chris Saylor Show. And for Princeton Women's Lacrosse Coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being here with us this week. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.